become, I mean, you're at crossroads with them. You need to forgive them and release them. Mm-hmm. And you can do that. And so then I pray and I say, I'm going to pray a prayer here because your type of forgiveness doesn't work because I believe you've tried. Oh, yeah, Darren, every day I want to do it. Well, you need to have God's forgiveness flow through you to that person. So I take them through a very sin. This doesn't take very long. Say, follow me in this prayer. And I say, as an act of my will, I choose to forgive and release my father-in-law. As an act of my will, I choose to forgive and release myself. And number three, as an act of my will, I choose to forgive and release God. And they say, well, God didn't do anything wrong. I say, I know that. But you wrongly charged God.
Yes.
And you need to straighten out that relationship because you called him the bad guy in this deal. And you know, when I take them through that, Barbara, many times their healing would come instantaneously because I never got to pray for healing. We prayed for the problem, which was unforgiveness.
Yes. And I believe a major part of that prayer, Darren, is as an act of
my will. That's right.
We have made a decision here. I'm not going to allow this unforgiveness to have any more leverage in my own life, in my friend's life who I have ought against, and between me and the Lord. I don't want there to be anything anymore. I do not want to be angry at God. I don't want to charge him with something he never did. For instance, you know, if you lost your baby and you said, God, why did you do this to us? It wasn't God. It was the enemy, Darren. And if a storm comes and destroys your house, what is it? An act of God? Everybody calls it an act of God, but it's not an act of God. It's the enemy on the rampage again. So God has been charged with a lot of things he's not guilty of, and we charge him. So there here is a little glitch here already in my heart. I have a little blackness starting with God. I'm angry at him. We should never be angry at our Creator.
You know, in the night last night, God was talking to me about identity theft. And today that's a big crime in our country. People steal your Social Security number, they get your credit card number, they run up thousands of dollars on your name, and it's stolen identity. You know, the Lord spoke to me and said, Darren, a lot of people buy the lie from the devil, and they start running around with a false identity. And the devil's lied to them. They bought the lie that they're inferior, they're unworthy, they're icky, they're ugly, they're stupid, they're something. And he said, don't let the devil steal your true identity in Jesus. He said, you need to hold on to that, and you need to protect that. And it takes work. You can't go by. And the Holy Spirit said to me, you know, Darren, the saying, if you snooze, you lose. Well, you can't snooze on this deal. I mean, you got to fight the devil off and say, I'm going to forgive that person no matter how I feel. I feel like the person over there has really sliced me up. He has, tried to wreck my reputation. Or they've done something to my children. And I'm going to take offense to this, and I'm not going to put it down until I square the score. Mm-hmm. Man, I'm telling you, you're set up there for a big wreck.
That's right, because unforgiveness is truly a dead-end street. And that was a single tape message we've had for years. It is a dead-end street. There is nowhere you can go if you're unforgiving.
That's not a win-win. That's a lose-lose.
It isn't. And forgiveness in a believer's life is truly not an option. Forgiveness is not an option. It is a command of the Lord to forgive.
Well, so we could say the other side of that coin is this. Unforgiveness is a sin. It is not an option to keep around in a Christian's life. You've got to get rid of it.
That's right. And as Noah Webster, I want to get back to Matthew 18 because this parable that Jesus tells his disciples is my favorite story. And we'll get back to that. But I want to go through the forgiveness definition that Noah Webster gives. It is to give up resentment or claim to acquittal, to remit as a fine, to cease to feel resentment against another. Now, see, feelings come into focus so much when we're unforgiving. It's like you said, when we're going to get into a grudge, it's a seething anger that goes on and on and on. But forgiveness is opposite of that. We cease to feel. We, as an act of our will, we cease to feel resentment against another. We overlook an offense or treat the offender as not guilty. And that means to send away or reject the opportunity to be in unforgiveness. Darren, we actually, as an act of our will, send away or reject that opportunity to take up that battle, that court in our mind. We send it away. And Noah Webster, at the very last of his definition here of forgiveness, says, the forgiveness of enemies is a daily Christian duty. And that's what Jesus said, to forgive your enemies, to forgive those who persecute you. So this is something that a Christian should do on a daily basis.
Now, what that really means is I'm going to erase the wrong done to me.
Yes.
I'm going to declare you the offender. We started out here saying you've offended me, so you're the offender, but I'm going to erase that offense, and I'm going to set you free.
Oh, praise God.
I'm going to hold that against you, and I'm going to hold you in debt to me. Mm-hmm. And then go back to the Lord's Prayer. We forgive, you know, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. There's an explanation of forgiveness. We want to say, you're no longer in debt to me.
Yes. Now, the word grudge, I looked that up the other day because, Darren, some families have family grudges, and they become curses. They're prejudice. Some families carry on prejudice, racial prejudice, but others prejudice against nationalities or against countries. And a grudge means to grumble, and what you said the other day was so good. It's seething anger.
That's right.
You're grumbling on the surface, but down underneath, it's a roaring river of anger.
And what that really is rage. And a lot of people, you know, they walk around, they're almost, you know, closing their teeth together, and they can hardly talk straight because they're trying not to say anything, but that volcano is trying to come out their mouth.
Uh-huh.
And they want to burn and scathe and hurt somebody.
Yes, and like in marriage relationships, to give or take unwillingly, if a wife is saying, okay, I forgive you, and you know that she doesn't forgive you by the very tone of her voice. She is allowing this unwillingly. She is not putting down her will or saying, all right, honey, I forgive you.
If I send this message to you in the mail, will you listen to it? Just kidding. Do you know, sometimes it's political hatred. I hate the Republicans, or I hate the Democrats, or I hate the Independents. And I've seen people that got that carried away with politics to where it didn't matter. If they found out you were a Democrat, you were dog meat.
Yes.
I mean, that's the way they treated you. Or you could have been a Republican, and they're staunch, you know, whatever.
Yes. Well, here, Noah Webster says that a grudge is a secret enmity. And I looked up enmity, Darren, and it's the quality of being an enemy. So when we have a grudge against somebody, we're actually saying, I hate what they're doing, or I hate them. It is actually a quality of saying, I'm their enemy. And wow, that's very serious and very dangerous.
Now, when you get that, you're declaring war in your heart.
I guess so, yes.
And you know that people say, well, you know, and I'll tell you one thing, folks, here, the devil can trip you up so fast when it comes to your children, in particular your grandchildren. You say, my grandson was innocent, and this big boy bully on the playground did such and such, and, you know, and I hate his family, and I hate him, and if I could hurt him, I would. I've heard adults say that. And sometimes I've had those feelings myself. You know, I remember when Lance came home one time, and he had scratches all up and down the side of his head, and I said, what happened to you? He said, and here he's first grade. He said, well, this kid named him, called me out. And I said, what does that mean? He said, you wanted to fight. But, Dad, I like him, and I let him beat me up. I said, you what?
God bless.
I said, see, now, at that time, I was a school principal, and I knew if you ever got the label of being the punching bag for the school, you didn't want that label. So I said to him, I'm not going to hate that other kid that drug him across the playground, scratched him all up, and the stickers and everything. I made him settle it. Mm-hmm. I said, now, don't you ever come home and tell me that again. Now, if he picks a fight, you finish it. Well, he did. The very next night, when Lance was the winner, I got a call from his mother, and she said, are you Mr. Carmack? I said, I am. She said, your son Lance? Yes. Well, your boy beat up my boy tonight on the playground. I said, well, now we're even, because your boy beat up my boy last night. Thanks for your call. Goodbye.
Oh, you guys.
But, you know, sometimes you have to get those things settled. Mm-hmm. Now, see, I could have found out the family's name. What's their last name? You know, I could have started hating these people and condemning the parents for raising such a monster kid. No, I don't want to get into that grudge. I don't want to carry that weight. I don't want to carry a U-Haul with one more thing trailing along behind me.
Yes. That's right, and that's what a grudge is, Darren, and you're right. It can have national prejudice against nations, against all kinds of things. It really is the quality of being an enemy, or a rooted or a fixed hatred. That's what a grudge is. It's real prejudice. So we don't want to have that in our families. We want to cut that off. If you sense that is a curse in your family, when you get together, you're always talking about of nation or prejudice, racial prejudice, you can cut that off in the name of Jesus.